That was great. Thank you, ladies. We're going to do something different for the first service this morning. We're going to let each of these gentlemen up here take a couple minutes, and they're going to talk about what Pacific Baptist Church means to me. Each and every one of these men here, of course, Brother Joseph grew up here, was born into the church and grew up. Well, actually, weren't born into the church, but has been here his whole life. Brother Ross, I remember meeting with Pastor in early 1990, deciding whether we were going to let the kid come to our school. And we made a really bad decision, and we let him come. We haven't been able to get rid of him, but he grew up here. Brother Pineda was a juvenile delinquent, wasn't even going to school, showed up on our basketball court one day, and we made the mistake of letting him in the school. But no, these guys have been great. Brother Beck came to our church on a friend day, really. He would tell you, a backslidden Christian. And got right here and got a vision for his life. Brother Jim, you started coming in grade school. Got saved here, I believe. Brother Pichardo, we're praying for his salvation. He came a little bit later, already saved, and God gave him a vision when his brother was here, and now he leads our Filipino ministry. Good guys. They're going to stay on the clock and maybe set back. So we're going to have Brother Jim's going to come first. And guys, go sit down. I meant to have Leslie come up here so she could tell you what to do. That's the only way you listen. When you're done, just come right up, okay? Brother Chim will go first. Brother Joseph will go second. Brother Pichardo will go third. Brother Beck will go fourth. Brother Pineda will go fifth. And Brother Ross will go last. And we're honored to have these men. Brother Chim, you may now come.
All right. Okay, please stand with me and turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 24. I will speak a little faster than usual for obvious reasons. Joshua chapter number 24, and being here for 20 years, Pacific Baptist Church, means a lot to me and my family. I'd like to share one area with you this morning. The Bible says in Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 14, the Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And let's pray real quick. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you empower all of us to be a blessing to your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Joshua here is coming to the end of his life. He's about 110 years old, and he is God's man for God's people. And God has given Joshua one last opportunity to speak before God's chosen people. And what does he do with this opportunity? He gives him a challenge. He gives him a very clear challenge. And what's that challenge? Choosing to serve the Lord. Life is filled with many choices. This morning, some of us made the choice to get out of bed, or all of us made the choice to get out of bed. Some of us made the choice to brush our teeth this morning, amen. Maybe all of us made the choice to take a shower. We chose what outfit to wear. I like Albert Einstein. He wore the same outfit every day so he wouldn't have to make that choice in the morning time. But we all made a choice to come to church this morning. Life is filled with choices. But the most important choice I believe that we can make is choosing to serve the Lord. I thank God for Pacific Baptist Church. And the reason why this church means so much to me and my family is not only have we been served, and by the way, you have served my family in a nursery, in preaching, in greeting, in parking, telling me I can't park there and there, amen? But you have served my family, but I believe the greater joy is the privilege that I have with my family to serve in Pacific Baptist Church. Every single week, we get to serve in the singles ministry in that balcony right over there. We get to cook breakfast for them. I can have other people cook. I'm not the best cook in my class, but I enjoy being able to serve by flipping that bacon, by turning over that sausage, by filling up that juice cup and giving it to my class members. I don't need workers for that. I can do that myself. Why? Because there's great pleasure in serving God's people and serving God in Pacific Baptist Church. My wife works in the nursery, amen. So if your child gets bitten and my wife is the worker, please give her a break, amen. She's trying her best, but my wife gets to serve in that ministry. She also gets to serve in the music ministry whenever she's not with child and she's feeling good enough to sing, amen. But of course you can always sing even when you have a baby. But I get to serve as a song leader once in a while. I get to serve as a preacher, as a teacher in the school. Praise God for the opportunities to serve at Pacific Baptist Church. You know what, Phil? God has given all of us talents and gifts. I don't have that many talents. My wife will tell you that, amen. Every time I song lead, sometimes I'll forget some words for some reason. It's just, I'll go off tune. And when my wife is in here, she'll tell me when I'm off tune. And that's why I try to, if I can kick somebody out of the service, it's my wife once in a while when I'm song leading. But you know what? With what we have, we're just serving God. God has given you specific gifts as well. Some of you out there have the ability to turn a frown upside down. I mean that. You can be a greeter, and someone could be having a bad day, and maybe they drag themselves to church this morning out of duty, but when they come through that door and you shake their hand, or you give them a hug, or you smile at them, all of a sudden their day is different. Their day is different. Well, you can be a greeter. Maybe some of you have the ability to sing or play an instrument. Maybe as you hear the wonderful special that you heard this morning, maybe God is nudging at your heart and saying, why don't you participate in the music ministry? I've given you these talents not to keep to yourself and to hoard to yourself, but to use them at Pacific Baptist Church. Of course, we have Brother Pineda to screen you and let you know if you have that ability or not. But you can try. You can try. Some of us, we have a B license or a Class A license, and we can drive large vehicles. And God didn't just give us that so we can make some money off of that at work. Maybe God gave that to you so you can help drive bus kids to church. How many times do bus workers have to use their cars, and how many times do kids have to get left behind because we don't have enough bus drivers? Well, God can use you for that. I want to encourage you this morning to consider, as Joshua challenged God's people back in his day, to consider to use your talents and choose to serve God. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Chim. And we will I'll get right into it. There are many reasons I love Pacific Baptist Church, and I'll just go through a couple, then I'll get to one primary reason. I love Pacific Baptist Church because we are a, as he mentioned, a serving church, And many times I was reminded over the past week of our people loving God, loving others, serving God, and serving others. And I'm glad that we don't just come and sit here and then go live our lives. We're people that serve people. Thank you for being a serving church. I love our church because we're a faithful church. Faithful church, starting with Brother Myers being just being here loyally and faithfully for 27 years, and scattered all over this auditorium here today, we see people. We thank God for the longevity and faithfulness of the people here, Pacific Baptist Church. The Bible says, "A faithful man who can find." I'm glad that there are many of them here at Pacific Baptist Church. I'm glad that we have a soul-winning church. Of course, the Bible says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part." I'm glad that we had the best, most consistent summer saturation we've ever had this past summer. Thank you for being a Jerusalem church that's a soul-winning church. Judea, we've seen some East LA college students saved, baptized recently, and discipled every single week. I'm glad that in Judea, we're a soul-winning church. I'm glad that we have teams on the uttermost part of the world that are soul-winning, discipling. I'm glad to be part of a church that's a soul-winning church. Great Commission Church. I'm also thankful that we're part of a church that's a loving church. Loving church. The Bible says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." The Bible says the people out there know that we're his disciples by the love that we have for each other. Thank you for being a church that cares and loves for each other, for people here. I'm glad that when you broke your arm, you had a heart attack, people around our church go through a tough time, there's texts, there's notes, there's meals, there's visits. I'm glad that I'm part of a church that just loves the people of our church. Finally, what has Pacific Baptist Church meant to me? If I could pick one reason why I'm glad I'm part of a Pacific Baptist Church, we haven't been perfect over 27 years, but I believe that we have tried to be people that model our lives and our church after this book. And if there's one primary thing I could say or a challenge I could give for the next 27 years, let's be people and a church that models ourselves after this book. Not followers of the culture, but after this book. Not followers of Hollywood, but after this book. Not the political trends or the political trumps, but this book. We're soul winners. Why? Because we model ourselves after this book. We go out and we disciple people every week because we believe what this book says. We've set the standard high because we believe in this book. We love God. We love others. We serve God. We serve others. Why? Because we believe it's written in this book. We lift Christ up. We lift Christ up like we talked and sung about today. Why? Because we learn of that in this book. I'm glad that for 27 years, we've not been perfect. We've not arrived, but we are people of the book. If we follow Hollywood, we'll become worldly. We model ourselves after Instagram and Facebook, we'll become materialistic. We model ourselves after men, we'll become disillusioned. We model ourselves after the Joneses next door. Lost myself. We'll live for that which is frivolous and temporal. But when we model ourselves after this book, we'll live for that which is eternal and that which really matters. And I want to challenge us as we look ahead. Let's have 27 more years of being people of the book.
I'm so thankful that the Lord brought my family to Pacific Baptist Church. There's many, many reasons I want to, for the reasons that I love this church. But let me just emphasize one this morning, and that is because of our church love for souls. Our church, Pacific Baptist Church, soul winning is a big deal here. You say why? Because we care for the souls of men. By the way, my family and I were here today because someone went out of his way to share the gospel to my family. And you know, why do we care for the souls of men? The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And that only begotten son is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in him, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish. By the way, that word perish does not only talk about our physical death, but spiritual death, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to pay for the penalty of the sins of mankind. And God loves you and me that he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us who are not willing that any should perish." That word perish is not talking about a physical death, but also the spiritual death, but that all should come to repentance. Our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins. He died a horrible death. He died a cruel death. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If there's anybody here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day to get saved. And around here, soul winning is a big deal because we care for the souls of men. And God is giving each one of us here, especially those that are not saved, God is giving you a chance to get saved today. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, we're only given one life to live. And after that life is over, the Bible says, after this, the judgment. That's why soul winning is a big deal here in Pacific Baptist Church. We tell people before it's too late. I'm going to close with this. I met a man a couple years ago that I tried to witness to this man a couple times, and he's just not ready to get saved. And I told this man, I gave this man my business card. I said, if there's anything that I can do for you, if you need me to explain more things so that you will understand the gospel, I'll be more than willing. And if you have any prayer requests, I'll pray for you. And this man was just a fairly wealthy man. He said, I don't really need anything, but I'll take your business card. So after about a week, I got a phone call from this same man. When I picked up the phone, he said, remember you told me that if I have any prayer requests, that I'll pray for you. And I said, yes, how can I help? What can I pray for you? And this man started crying. Started crying uncontrollably that I couldn't even understand what he's saying. And after he got his composure back, he told me, this is what he said. He said, my brother just died. I want you to pray that my brother would go to heaven. And I was speechless when he said, I don't know what to say. And he said, I told him, I'm going to pray for you and your family. And he said, no, pray that my brother would go to heaven. And I was speechless. And I don't have the heart to say that it's too late. If you die without Christ, it's too late. That's why Pacific Baptist Church here, we care for the souls of men. And we let them know while there's still time.
You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't look like this for most of my life. I got saved in sixth grade, and be quiet. I got saved in sixth grade, and I didn't go to a church, and I never really got plugged in anywhere. And unfortunately, for most of my adult life, I was wayward. And if you've been in the world, you know all that the world has to offer. And at the age of 25 years old, I walked in the back door of Pacific Baptist Church. I'm broken, bruised, with no hope, no purpose, just not quite knowing what to do with myself. And the reason why I love Pacific Baptist Church today is because our church is a hospital for sinners. Let me say this, church. God is still in the salvaging business. God still likes to take the down and outers and the hurting and the broken, and as they come in those back doors and as they hear the preaching of God's word and as they get love from God's people, he's in the business of fixing broken marriages and restoring the wayward Christians and fixing that rebel and changing lives today. I love Pacific Baptist Church because she is still a hospital for sinners. Let me say this, church. Don't allow this place to become simply a museum for the saints. A place where we come in and it's just a social hour. Where everybody wears a shirt and tie and a nice dress and carries their King James Bible. Hey, let's still go out of our way. And I'm thankful for when I walked in those back doors with a shaved head and an earring, and I didn't look like everybody else, and I didn't talk like everybody else, and I didn't smell like everybody else. But the people of Pacific Baptist Church, they reached their hands out, and they shook my hand, and they loved on me, and they cared for me, and they made me feel like I was special. Hey, let's keep our church a hospital for sinners. Hey, let's be the type of church that still cares about the lost and dying world that's outside these walls. Let's keep soul winning. Let's keep supporting missionaries. Hey, let's do all we can to keep this place a soul winning church. Really, and I just think about my life. And fast forward 10 years now. And God's given me a wonderful wife and four children. The opportunity to serve him full time, preach every week, and God has done an amazing work in my life. Hey, you might be here today, you might feel helpless and hopeless, or you might be a wayward, or you may feel like there's nothing that is left in life as long as there's a God in heaven. As long as Pacific Baptist Church is still here, there's hope.
First Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Brother Myers reminded me of the day when I first came to church. A lot of us, when we first came to church, we did not come in here with our hair parted to the side and, our shirt and tie. But when we came in here, I could say this. When we came in here to church, we came in here looking for something different. Things that we were a part of, things that we were involved, they just weren't working for us. And that we wanted something different. I remember when I walked into our church, and I was a teenager during the hip-hop movement, where young teenagers were wearing size 40 pants, and they weren't a size 40 waist either. Okay, I was a size 27, 28 waist, and I came in here with size 40 silver tap jeans, amen? Long shirt, long hair, an earring, and I was a part of the hip-hop movement. I loved music. I loved it. I loved R&B, I loved rap, I even liked rock. How can you like rap and rock? I did. I loved Ice Cube and I loved Guns N' Roses. I was just all over the place. I loved music. Okay. Isn't it weird or ironic how the Lord just kind of worked it all out for the guy that was so involved in music as a youth to be the music director of Pacific Baptist Church? Now, I will say this. Again, when I came into this church, I was looking for something different. I didn't want the music of the world anymore. I didn't want to listen to Ice Cube. And I don't want to listen to Guns N' Roses anymore. And I don't want to listen to, believe it or not, you know, some of you might think I'm maybe a little effeminate, but Boys to Men. Okay? BBD. You guys remember that? Some of you that are, 35, 40 years old, you remember them? Okay? But I wanted something new. Bible says in Psalm chapter number 40, in verse number 1 here, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." One of the joys that I have when I come to church is when I come up here and I lead the singing. It's a wonderful thing. I wish you could see what we see when we're up here. We get to see some of you older Christians actually still enjoying church and still enjoying singing. We get to see that. That's wonderful. I love seeing Brother Esposito when he sings. And he's an older Christian. I don't mean in age, like, but he's both. He's old and he's an older Christian. Okay? And I enjoy it. I love it. But you know what I also enjoy? I enjoy seeing newer Christians coming to church. And they're singing the songs of Zion. I love that. It's a wonderful thing. And I wish you could see it. By the way, leave them alone. They'll get over it. No. Hey, fan that flame. Oh, wait till they're here for like 5 years. Then they'll be like me. Okay? I hope they're not like you. I love coming to church and singing. You think of the songs that we sang this morning. Lift them up. God forbid that I should boast, save only in the cross. None of us have any reason to boast, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Your grace still amazes me. Thank God for that. Think of the songs. If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Hey, when you come to church, listen to the songs that we're singing. I really believe there are many, many people here in our church, many people around our city that are looking for something different. Just like we were, just like many of you were. They need a new song in their heart. Thank you.
Jude 22, I love our church, and I've been to our church here since I was, I want to say 14. Been here for a while. Came out of Massachusetts, right outside of Boston. Used to have that Boston accent. Came down here with my skateboard and went skateboarding. I remember going downtown skateboarding and a bunch of skaters right there. And everybody took off. And they said, hey, Nate, let's go. I said, why? I want to be here. I want to skate. I came here to skate. And there were some gangsters that came by, and they asked me where I was from. And I didn't know the lingo. I said, from Massachusetts. And, I'm straight out of Boston, you know. But, needless to say, I got beat up, and I took my skateboard, start running, and I said, hey, guys, wait up. Now I know why you guys are running. Started coming to our church, and God started changing my life. See, I went to church all my life, but that's what it was. It was church. I didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. And there were people in our church that impacted my life. The Bible says in Jude 22, the Bible says, and some have compassion, making a difference. And as I scanned all through this auditorium, and as I could see some of the people in the back, I could see people that God has made a difference in your life. And when you came, you had some deep problems. But God, through this church, made a difference in your life. Now, as I look at some of the people in this section, y'all look good. But underneath that smile before was a heartache. As I look at this section over here, I could see marriages that were falling apart, lives that were at the brink of destruction. But God used this church and the people in this church to make a difference in your life. I remember that time when Pastor came to my door. And we were interested in coming to the school. He came to our door, and first time I saw him, I go, man, that's a big noggin. That Italian nose. And I came to the church. And I remember coming to the church and thinking, okay, it's Cambodian Baptist Church at that time, and we drove by some churches, and I told my mom, I said, is that the church? I was in the Southern Baptist churches, and they all had nice building, big facilities. And she drove through this alley, and there was a sign over barbed wire that said, welcome, Cambodian Baptist Church. I didn't feel welcome at all. I thought either they're keeping people out, or they're keeping people from escaping out with those bars. And I went in, and it was a makeshift building and a platform made of, I want to say, milk carts. And some regular old chairs. Pastor came up, preached, and I remember the first time I heard him preach, I was like, wow, I actually got something from the message. As Brother Howell said, he put the cookie on the bottom shelf. And then after the message, I remember Pastor and the people that some of the staff or the the men in the church came and met with me and asked me different doctrinal questions. I didn't know anything. I was like, yeah, you're speaking in tongues. No, I don't do that. You know, well, that's fine. And I remember coming here and Pastor and Brother Myers and the people in the church start influencing, God using them. It made a difference in my life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you. I love our church because our church is alive. Our church is not a monument where people come sit, sour, and soak. We have a group of people that are here to serve. And maybe 27 years from now, we have the same church where hopefully my children and my grandchildren come to Pacific Baptist Church 27 years from now and say, I remember Grandpa talking about that church. And it's the same church where God is, and the people in the church are making a difference through the Lord Jesus Christ in people's lives. Amen. See, church is not about a building. Church is its people. The Bible says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every nation. If we as a church quit having that zeal to make a difference in people's life, let's just fold down everything, close the doors, lock it up. Let's just go live a regular life. Because that's not what Christians are here to do. We're here to spread the gospel and look at somebody and say, I want to make a difference in their life. I want to see them in heaven one day. I want them be where Christ is. I don't want them to be in an eternal, Christless hell, burning forever and ever apart from the love of God. That's why we have our church. That's why our pastor sent people and had a team, sent some of our best staff members to foreign soil so we can make a difference in people's life. Now I want to challenge you, church. Let's make a difference. Let's say, I am going to make a difference in somebody's life. I'm not just going to come here in church and sit in a seat, warm up a seat or take up a pew or whatever it is. I'm here to make a difference, whatever that might be, in somebody's life.
Thank you. Let's stand together briefly. Stand for just a minute, if the pianist would come. How do you have an invitation when you have six different messages? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Because each one of them had a testimony of something that they learned, a motivation in their life, because they came here and God changed them. We have many people at different stages of growth. One of the blessings of being here for the whole time is I know many of your backstories, and I know if many of you had the opportunity, as our staff had, you could give testimony to God changing your life. Maybe some of you here, you've come and God worked at you, and maybe you're struggling a little bit now. We're here and God can put you in the right direction. Maybe some of you are here and you're a little newer and you're like, what's this all about? It's about God wanting to work in your life. Church isn't just somewhere you come and hang out. Church is somewhere we come to hear the truth of God's word that will change our lives if we allow God to do it. The pianist would play. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come?